Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, February 5th. And tonight we have an exciting show for you. But first, I want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. And, we don't have any beauty news for you tonight, even though I'm sure there's lots of things out there that you all need to know about, and we do too. So if you have beauty news that you would like for us to put out on the show during the beauty news segment, please send us an email at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe we have, is this you, JK?
Yes. I can't say it yet.
Why are you acting as if you don't want anyone to know that you're on the line?
You know I don't feel good, Janice. Denise, I know you know it. I'm all right, though. As long as I don't start coughing. Hi, lady.
Hi. Okay.
It's not that I don't want anybody to know. Y'all feel me. I'm fine with anybody knowing. And I'm online.
I just happened to see you sitting out there, so I'm like JK. And she's always sitting on the line, but she never pushes the option to speak, so I'm just going to call her out for a second.
Sometimes I push the button. I have something to say, I push the button. Otherwise, I'm trying to monopolize the conversation. You know, if you want to interview on somebody, I'll let you talk to them.
I know. I'm just kidding you because, you know, before when you used to come on the line and when you did, when you had something to say, and I'd be like, we have a caller from the 323 area code, and I never knew it was you. But now I think I got your number by heart.
You do. You're right. So I was laughing just a minute ago because I said, I bet you all would have canceled this Beauty Talk. It's the Ravens that made the Super Bowl, right, Denise?
You know
it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. You already know.
You know it. Well, you know Beauty Talk tonight.
Well, we're sorry, and my condolences that your team didn't make the Super Bowl.
Well, actually, you should offer your condolences that my team was cheated out of the Super Bowl. Let's just put that out there. And
The whole NFL is conspiring against the Ravens. Okay.
We won't get into that because we have our guest on the line, so I don't want to hold her up. So we're going to go ahead on and just jump right into conversation with Yolande. So let me bring her on.
Put me on hold. Love y'all.
Hi, you guys.
All
how
right.
are you?
I'm
how you
good. Hi, how is everybody?
Good. Pretty good. Can't complain. Welcome to Beauty Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We just want to jump right into the conversation. Again, I'll repeat the call-in number is 914-803-4399. 4399. If you want to call in, make a comment, or if you have a question for Yolanda, just give us a call at that number. You can join us in the chat room tonight as well with your questions and comments. But we're just going to jump right into the interview. Yolanda, can you just introduce to some of the Beauty Talk listeners who may not know you because you've been on the show a couple of times now as a guest panelist, but this is the first time that we've had a chance to actually interview you. So can you just introduce everyone and let them know who you are and how long you've been doing makeup, how you got started, and all that good stuff?
Hi, everybody. My name is Yolanda. My middle name is Denise, so we just say both names, Yolanda, Denise. My last name is Long, so it's a lot to say, so I just cut it in half. I'm a makeup artist. I'm shy also, so everybody please forgive me. I'm a shy person until you basically get to know me, and then I'm crazy. But I started doing makeup about, say, 15, 16 years ago, and I just got out there and worked really hard, went through a lot of, you know, different things as all makeup artists do. I don't like to say to get to where I am because I don't feel, well, I know for a fact I haven't reached all of my goals, but I've reached many of them. So, you know, it took this long to get here. I love it. I love makeup. I love making women look beautiful. I don't feel that makeup is what makes a woman look beautiful. I think makeup enhances the beauty that we all already have. Because to me, everybody has beautiful eyes and cheekbones. And, you know, it's just a matter of learning yourself. You know, if you're your own person, you know, doing your makeup every day, going to work or, you know, but as far as creating for television and film and music videos and ad campaigns, I love all that stuff. I like to see my art come to life, really. I like to see it, like, play out in front of me. So,
now, let me ask you to backtrack just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know you wanted to be a makeup artist? Is it something that you've always wanted to do?
Okay. No, I did not know I wanted to do it, but I had a love for it. When I was, I don't know, I just loved it. One thing that always sticks out in my mind is going to tell how old I am. One thing that always sticks out in my mind is the lady that worked at the car wash, on the movie Car Wash, with the blue eyeshadow. I fell in love. I don't know. I fell in love, and that was the 70s. So I just fell in love with it. And ever since then, I've just been crazy about it. Like, it makes me melt. It makes me feel good inside. I basically just used to wear it all the time. I used to sneak in my mother's makeup. And because I was so active as a child, my parents got us up because I was born and raised in Oakland, California. And my parents worked in San Francisco. So that was a 30-minute, maybe 45-minute commute, depending on traffic. So they would wake us up early, so we would have to be in traffic. So for me to stay out of trouble, my mother would put me on the counter in the bathroom, and I would have to watch her do her makeup every day. And she was a teller at Bank of America in the 70s. So I would always watch her with this Maybelline mascara, like, you know, dot this little fake mole. You know, she had a mole, but she made it darker, and she had this big eyeshadow palette that had looked like over 100 shadows. I know everybody's mom had one, and it just had every color in it, and she would do her makeup every day so she could go to work. So that's where it was, and she wouldn't let me wear it. So by the time I got to be maybe about 11, 12, I started, like, taking her eyeliners, and I would sneak and put it on, and then I would say, okay, I'm going outside, and I would run outside, you know. I put a full face of makeup on, and I would go outside to play. So if you talk to any of my friends from my childhood, they'll tell you she was outside playing tag with eyeshadow, lipstick, blush, you know, false lashes. Because, you know, back then, lashes, you could reuse them over and over again. They were real thick. So I would take my mom's lashes and wear her lashes outside to play tag and kickball. It was just a love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a love of makeup. And I just like to play in it. It was like paint, you know. So,
as you were coming along as a makeup artist, who were some of the artists out there that you kind of admired their work and wanted to learn from?
Well, actually, how I even got into makeup, I went off to college after high school, studied criminal justice, actually, and came out of college, and I was a monitor in prisons in Northern California. And I just quit one day, and I was at home, and my dad said, you know, we paid this money for you to go to college. I had just had a baby, and they said, you're not going to sit on our couch. So I went over to San Francisco, and I said, I'm not going to fold clothes. I don't want to smell people's feet. I don't want to put, you know, jewelry away and things like that. So I just got a job at the makeup counter. And that's really how it started. And then from there, one day, just home, my son was sick, and I saw on television, you know, there were all these, that's when music videos were, like, really popular. They were really getting popular. It was the early 90s, and I just said, you know, somebody has to get paid to do that, you know, and the fact that I loved it so much, I really didn't matter to me how much I got paid. I just wanted to do it.
Right. So when did the body painting come into play?
The body painting came into play shortly after I did a stint of movies with BET, Arabesque Films. In like 1999, I did all 10 of them in one year. Yeah, I worked on all 10 of those, and that was like one of my first jobs, actually.
Speaking of the BET films, do you know a makeup artist in LA named Denise Reese?
Yes.
Okay, because I think she used to do some of those, right?
Yeah, Niecy was there when I was there. Another makeup artist, Angie Wells, was there. Patricia Harris was there. And when Denise left, Angie took over. And then Angie needed help. And then that's where Pat came in because she was day playing. So she came in as an assistant. And then I happened to meet Angie Wells at the makeup convention in Pasadena back in 1999 or something like that, 98 maybe. I listened to her. She was actually a guest. We were both just watching. I can't remember who it was speaking at the time. And then she asked the question. And then afterwards, we were both standing there to talk to the makeup artist to ask further questions. And then we talked for a minute and exchanged numbers. And I kept in contact with Angie. And a day that they needed a day player, like right when it first started, because they didn't know how many cast members, what the, you know, the structure of the movie was going to, how they were going to go and all those kinds of things. And on my first day, Angie had me come, and I was the third. And they just needed me to stay because there was so many films going on, and then that's what happened.
Wow.
And then from there, during that year, I learned a lot. There's a big difference between a film and a television sitcom and a music video and high fashion. You know, that's one of the things you learn in the beginning. It's a big difference between fashion and film. So I didn't get bored sitting on set. I was very antsy because once you create the character, because a film is all about characters and television, once you create that character, that's it. You just maintain that, you know. So I have a little wild side to myself. You know, I have a lot of energy. I wanted to be, like, really creative. So once the films were over, I had a couple of friends I either grew up with or went to college with or just met along the way. They were doing a lot of music videos because that's when a lot of music videos were, like, you know, you're doing any given moment you're willing to, you know, you could be driving through Los Angeles and you'll see about maybe, you know, six or different things going on, you know, throughout the city, somebody shooting something. And there were a lot of music videos at that time. So it was about, you know, 3-4 music videos a week. So I ended up getting into that. And my first music video job, actually, I ran out of gas when I got there. I worked for 12 hours, got paid $50. It was an Ice Cube video. I got paid $50. I took $25 and took the little can and they put gas in my car for me because it wouldn't start. So I made it to the gas station. I put $25 in my gas tank and another $25 I bought Popeye's chicken and took that home for dinner. I was, and I was struggling. So I took the other $25 and bought dinner and, you know, and then you meet, you know, your relationships that you have throughout the years, you know, doing these faces that you make. And, you know, people call you back. And eventually, you know, you build relationships with producers and directors. And so that's how I got into the music video side. And then once I got into the music video side, you start meeting the artists. And then the artists need their own personal makeup artist. They meet you on set. Because usually when you come in doing a music video, if you're not with the artist already, you're basically working on all the extras. So all those girls back in the day you used to see dancing, you know, in the videos. I did a couple of those until the time came where, you know, my relationships grew with some of the artists, and then I started being entertainers, personal makeup artists. So that's where the body paint came from. It just so happened Missy Elliott at the time, they wanted something wild and crazy, and I didn't work for Missy, but Dave Myers, who was a big director at that time, I was really good friends with him, and I would always do a lot of his music videos, like I was saying, like all the extras and stuff. And then one day he, you know, I showed Dave my book, because at that time, you know, portfolios were the thing to have. Like, if you didn't have one of those, you were dead in the water if you didn't have a portfolio. So, I mean, like
now you can just show your website and
That's it, you know, and DVD, you know, well, not even at that time, it was a VHS reel, you know, you needed to have and all that good stuff.
Right.
So, I talked to Dave, and then Missy was thinking of something wild and crazy because that's what she was at the time. It was like 2000, I think, or something like that. And he asked me, he told me to go home and think about it. So I went home, thought about it, came back the next day, gave him my idea, and Missy loved it. And I did the Get Your Freak On video, so I did all that body painting for her, for that, myself. And I hired 4 other makeup artists to help me because it was rough. You know, that's real dirty. And then it went on to her Minuteman video and Ludacris's video, and just, you know, it just went on from there and there. But they don't make videos like they don't used to anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
Speaking of body painting, have you been catching any of the episodes of season 2 of Face Off?
Yes, I love Face Off.
Because, you know, this season, you know, last season they were doing a lot of monsters and creatures and things. This season they're doing a lot of painting.
Yeah.
What do you think about some of the work that you've seen so far on season 2?
Awesome. I mean, I think everybody is doing a great job. You know, just over the years with any profession, you know, things are going to grow. So, I mean, the artists that are coming out today, you know, there's so many things that are available today that weren't available back then. You know what I mean? Like, we used to have to go to Image Exclusives or Friends or something like that and you know, buy those pieces. And those pieces cost a lot of money, you know. Now these days they're making molds themselves, and I love it. I love every. I'm learning something every day. Every time I watch it, I learn something new.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely. Do you have any favorites as far as the contestants go?
No favorites. There's so many different things on television now. You know, no, I don't have any favorites. I'm so into, I like a lot of the,
as far as the contestants on Face Off.
No, I don't, that's so sad. I don't remember anyone's name. everything is so beautiful and created so nicely, and everything is so different. You know, I'm into looking at what they're doing and how, you know what I mean, and the particulars.
Right.
I'm not learning any names. There's so many reality shows now, I can't keep up.
Right. Absolutely. You know, okay, so you know, I was gonna say something about somebody's work. Do you remember wasn't this last episode, but the episode before then, which I think was episode 3, where they had to do the body paint and they had to blend one of the models into the actual picture, the background.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had two models. Do you remember the when Bree and I think his name is Matt, when they did the sneakers? Do you remember that?
No.
Sorry.
I remember I didn't watch where they were creating it. I only got to see the judging of that episode. And I saw the final product of how the person was standing there and they drew all the sneakers on her body to blend into the picture. Yeah. Filippo, I've met him. And amazing.
Which one is that?
He was actually a judge last season.
Oh.
Filippo, he's a great body painter. I don't want to... I don't know exactly where he's from, but he's not from the United States. I know he's from South America, maybe, or something like that. I don't know where Filippo is from.
Yeah, as you were coming along, because I heard you talk about when you were working on the Arabesque film, and you were talking to their name just at that, Wells, Angie Wells.
Mm-hmm. Angie,
What did it take to be an assistant back then?
You stand around and you learn a lot. That's really what you do as an assistant. You're just there to touch ups.
Mm-hmm.
They may let you put on some lip gloss. They may ask you to put the lashes on for them after, you know, the key and the first have, you know, done their faces. It's basically, you know, you're there to learn, you know what I mean? And you watch set a lot, you know, so you get to learn how makeup holds up under light. You know, you learn a lot by standing behind the monitor. You know, you get to see how, the way the light reflects from behind, you know, to the right, to the left. You know, you learn a lot of those things. So that's what is good. That's the good part about being an assistant. You know what I mean? A lot
right.
of people don't want to assist anymore these days. They just want to just jump straight in and, you know, think it's about just beating a face, but it all depends on, you know, what you're doing your face for.
Right, exactly. But you know what, Yolanda, I also noticed a lot of makeup artists now, especially a lot of newer makeup artists, they don't want to work for free either. You know, it's just as soon as you offer them some type of job or internship or whatever, you know, their thing is, well, how much am I going to get paid? That's all anybody cares about. But they still wonder why they haven't made it to where they want to make it to in this business.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, one of my first music videos was $50, you know, and I was there for 12 hours.
My first music video, I was there for 23 hours, and I did it for free.
That's love.
It's a long time for free, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But after that one video, I got paid for the rest of them. And this is
got
what,
paid
like,
for the rest
same,
of them.
People, the same makeup artist called me every single time she did a video.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it's grueling work, you know what I mean, especially something that long. It's a music video.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're starting off, you... Even in a regular job, you know, they get paid minimum wage, unfortunately. But if minimum wage was more than that, you're not going to walk in being CEO of any company. You know, you have to make your way. You need to learn. There's a lot I had to learn. You know, there's a lot of things just as an assistant, you know, you don't need to do. You know,
you know
would think.
I'm sorry.
Say that again. No, go ahead. Say that again.
I was just saying that, you know, what I find with assistants, you know, whether you work for free or you only get $50 for 12 hours or what have you, it's an opportunity for the key artist to really see what you're made of and to really see if you really want to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it gives them an opportunity and a chance to kind of learn how you are when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of makeup artists, they miss out on the opportunity because they turn it down because they don't want to work for free, or they turn it down because they don't want to get just $50 for the 12 hours, but they don't realize that this is, in some way, this is almost like your audition or your, you know, like a trial type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where the artist sees that you can hang in there and that you really want to do what you're doing, then
mm-hmm.
just like my sister said, the same artist called her back every time she did a video. That's really one of the things that they want to see when they bring you in on these free jobs and what have you. But I think some artists just kind of miss it totally. They don't get it. They, you know, like you said, they want to get paid. And I understand that in these days and times, economically, things are really hard. But regardless, you still have to pay your dues in this business.
Yeah.
You really do.
It's funny that you say that. My assistant that I use now, I've had the same assistant for 14 years.
Wow.
14 years to date. I could call her right now if I have, you know, if I can't make one appointment and I need somebody to fill in for me, I know I could call her and, you know, I'll be satisfied. I won't have any problems. Same person for 14 years.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Mhm. And it, now she you know, she does her own thing and been doing her own thing
right.
for I know many longer than, you know what I mean, for
right.
a long time. So now when she's keying something and she needs help, she calls me and I have no problem with going to help her.
Right.
Mhm.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Now, who are some of the people that inspire you as far as body painting is concerned? Like, do you have any body painters that inspire you?
No, not really. I know that may sound kind of funny. No, not really, because I like the body painting. It's something that I can do, you know, well. I do a really great job at, you know, because I'm going off my own creativity when I'm body painting. But I really love beauty. I love fashion beauty more so than anything. I love it when the clothes and the hair and everything comes together. You know, part of, I know everybody watched America's Next Top Model all these years, but the makeup, you know, to me really makes the model. Like it also, you know, it tells a story. I love it. I love beauty makeup. So, I'm more so biased to that than I am body painting.
Uh-huh. And you do a lot of work with music artists.
Yes.
Did all of that come about just from your work on music videos?
Kind of, sort of, almost. You know, because they all run together. Just so happens that, you know, in doing the music videos, I got to meet those artists. But once the artists started doing films, you know, when the artists start coming doing guest spots on different TV shows and things like that, that was an opportunity for me there, because for me to have a conversation with them and say that, you know, I'm in music videos, but then I also do this too, that was more so a way for me to get to the recording artist. And by way of photographers, actually, you know, when they're doing their album covers and, you know, promo pictures and things like that, photographers would call me, you know, when they would get these gigs and stuff like that, and I would meet them that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, back in the day, CD covers were everything. You know, everybody did a album cover. You know,
right.
CD cover, you know, like, that was a big thing. So I got a lot of my artists that way, too.
Right. Now, did you have any, and I'm sure you did you have any, well, let me just ask this, what were some of your challenges early on in your career as a makeup artist, especially working with the Gax?
A lot of the challenges came from, in the beginning, you know, you had to have, like we said before, websites. You had to have these portfolios. So it was one thing to have a book full of, you know, pretty faces and models and stuff, but they really like to see people who were very familiar. That was hard in the beginning, like, you know, trying to find a photographer to work with you if they didn't know your work and they've never heard of you before. And, you know, back in the 90s, you know, you needed to have an agent if you wanted to be in this business, because that's where they would look for hair and wardrobe and makeup artists and things like that. And I happened to get an internship over at the Crystal Wright Agency. And I would answer Crystal's phones for her. Just being there in her office answering her phones and just watching how everything, you know, moved and it worked. You know, she believed in me. So when she would have new photographers coming to her wanting her makeup artists or hair people to do something that they were going to do and so on and so forth, you know, eventually, you know, one day I was like, Crystal, you know, I want you to give me a chance. You know, I went out and I put my own photo shoots together, you know, and I put together my own book and made my own Z card before, you know, they said that, you know, someone was going to rep you. You know, I had put all my stuff together like I already had an agent. And then, mm-hmm. you know, Crystal, once she saw I did all that, you know, she gave me a chance. And you know, she would send me out with the artist that she had at the time, and I could go assist them working with artists. And back then, Magic Johnson used to have this celebrity fashion show every mm-hmm. year. And that was another way I got to meet a lot of people that I work with, you know, because everybody wanted to be a part of that. So it was really big, and Crystal was the agency that everybody went to, for, you know, that Magic's company went to for this event, and she would hire, like, 20, like, people were dying to be a part. Like, I just, they wanted to be one of the hair people, you know, they wanted to be one of the wardrobe stylists, because you just knew you were going to network and meet so many people. So I was fortunate enough to be able to work those events and do makeup, and she encouraged us, you know, like, she has her styling guide. This is before the styling guide even came out. You know, she told mm-hmm. us how to, when you see them, you know, how to present yourself and have your Z card, your promo card at the time, you know, a little portfolio and a big portfolio. And you know, that was rough, you know, because there's artists out there and you know that they already have a makeup artist. So, you know, you don't want to cross the lines and solicit someone else's business, you know what I mean? So
right.
that's kind of hard, because when makeup artists find out you're soliciting their clients, you know, that can cause somewhat of a uncomfortable situation. And, you know, I've had myself in trying to get an agent, you know, years, you know, later, trying to find my own agent, and walked into an agency and had my portfolio, and for the agent to say, well, I've seen these pictures before. And I'm saying, you have? And she's saying, yeah, I've seen these before. And so she pulls out one of her artist books, and my pictures are in this other makeup artist's portfolio.
Okay, and wait. Back up. One second. So you go to this agency just looking for an agency, and
mm-hmm.
you pull out your portfolio, and you're
mm-hmm.
looking at your, and so they see these photos in your book, and they say they've seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls out one of the people that's already signed to her agency.
One of her, yes, an artist that's already signed to her agency.
Pulls out her book Mm-hmm. And your photos are her book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you explain that?
First, I had to calm down because I'm like, I'm wondering, like, how this can't be happening. And then I had to explain to her exactly what went on in that shoot. I had to explain to her exactly where we were. I explained to her that the top that you think is a top is really a scarf because we didn't have any more tops. And this was like one of the last pictures of the day. It was just a test shoot at that. And we used the scarf that was on the model's head and we tied it around her breast. And then we just took a sarong and tied it around her waist to make it look like a skirt.
Did you know that other makeup artist?
Yeah, I knew her. Mhm.
And so, what did the agent say?
Well, she wanted to confirm it, of course, because she didn't know me. You know, she wanted to confirm it, of course, and so she told me she would get back to me.
Mhm. So did she ever get back?
Yeah, I remember I was sitting in the movies with my husband. And I got a phone call, and she told me that the artist was there at her house and that, you know, she wanted to talk to me about it, and she found out that, you know, they are my pictures, and she wanted to apologize. The agent wanted to apologize, not the makeup artist. But me being me, I was really anxious, angry, upset, all of those things at the time. So I left the movie and went over to the... you know, tried to get to the agency so I could confront the other makeup artist at the time about it. And by the time I got there, she was gone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And her reason was that she was looking for a job in New York, and she knew the photographer, and she was trying to get the photographer a job also. So, and it was a really big job. It was for a really big record label. And
look at the serial photos.
Yeah, so she took the photographer's portfolio, took his pictures out, and scanned them and put them in her book. And my pictures happened to be the pictures of the females that she had in her book, of all the women, because the photographer only had so many shots at the time, because he had a lot of rappers. He had a lot of rappers in there, and so she needed more women in her book. So the women that were in the photographer's book were the ladies that I had did, and she took those photos and put them in her portfolio.
So she put the pictures in her portfolio for herself or for the photographer?
For herself.
And she admitted to that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And she said that makeup artists do it all the time. We use them as fillers. I'll never forget that. That's what she said.
Oh, my God. They use them as fillers. So that means they use them in their books because they don't have a bunch of women in their books, so they take someone else's picture.
Yeah. It took a long time for me to let that go. I was always praying I would run into her one day.
Well, how can you let it go?
Yeah, especially when, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, she's doing the faces of some major players in the business, and, you know, you're just watching. Because if that was the case, I could have just took my book and we both could have went up for the job and let me have my pictures and we roll with your pictures and then we'll see, you know,
who gets the job.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't care to mention who that is, huh?
No.
No, she does not. I thought I'd ask. But, you know, the sad thing about it is some of these people out here who are working all the time and are working on a lot of big faces, you'd be surprised that some of them have taken photos from other people's books. But
yeah.
I'm going to leave that one alone, and I'm going to go to a caller from the 708 area. So, hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, this is Viola. I came in on the end of the conversation, so I try to support
Hi,
you guys.
How are you?
I'm well. So this is Miss Yolanda Johnson.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good.
You're also a body painter as well.
Yes, I do body painting also.
Okay, so that's like double talent as far as to be a makeup artist as well. So what do you feel that you get the most work in both as in body paint or makeup artist?
I get more work in makeup, doing being a makeup artist. When I'm called to do something for body painting, it's because somebody just happened to see something I've either done in the past or that I've done recently. It's not a phone call I get all the time. And then they'll say, we want the artist who did that. And then I'll get called in for the body painting.
Okay. And are you on Facebook or Twitter?
I'm actually on both, yes.
Oh, okay, because I definitely like to educate myself on you more.
Okay.
You know,
go ahead.
She's Yolande Denise on Twitter, YOLANDEDENISE.
It's YOLANDE?
Yes.
Yes. Yolande
Denise. Okay, all right. Okay, definitely I'll be following you on Twitter, so I educate myself on you as always, and the Tonal Sisters are always bringing us the best, so I applaud you ladies as well.
Thank you. I love them. I wish there were more. I talk to Denise about that all the time. I just wish there were more artists out there like that, you know?
Right. They need a library, you know? It's like they're like walking encyclopedias, you know? They're amazing. Oh, my goodness. I mean, since I've been on following them on from – oh, my goodness, from MySpace. I used to hear about you guys when I stayed in Oregon. So, but just to see you guys taking this to a different level, I applaud you. I mean, you're really taking the art form into a whole different level. So thank you, ladies, for sharing all of this wealth and education. And same to you, Miss Yolanda.
Thank you, Viola. Nice meeting you.
Same here. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome. Thanks. While we have Viola on the line, I just want everybody to know that she's our next makeup artist up for the, what do we call it? She's our next listener interview. So be on the lookout for that. We want to hear more about you coming up soon. So we'll be in touch soon. But thank you so much for calling, though. Now, Yolande, let me get back to the discussion we were having. How do you see, or do you see, any changes in the business? I know we talked about how back in the day, you know, you used to have to show your VHS reel or your portfolio. Now we can just show our website. Have you seen anything else that has changed totally? Because, you know, you have social media now where you didn't have that back in the day. But how does, I guess I'm trying to figure out, especially from when, like, if you just one day you say, okay, I want to be a makeup artist. Back in the day, you had to go about it so differently than now. Like I heard you talking about the agencies, like everybody, you know, was seeking out agents. Now, do you necessarily think that's necessary? Or you talked about assisting a lot. I know you and I have had the conversation, you know, you were saying, like, you know, in Los Angeles, a town like Los Angeles, there's no way you could really get out there without assisting. So how have you seen or have you seen any changes as you're coming along?
It's like night and day now with the social media and just the internet, period. You can get whatever information you need. And, you know, with the LA 411, the Hollywood Reporter Creative Network, they have one for the creative side, they have one for production companies, they have one for record labels, and they, so on and so forth. You can literally walk up to someone to their door. You know, you have the address. They may need a cell phone number. You know, like, you can just get to everybody now. So you really don't even need an agent. You know, you're your own agent these days. You know, you can, and you see celebrities all over the place. Just walk up to them and, you know, get your hustle on, start pitching yourself, and you could talk yourself into a job. It's that easy.
You're saying, okay, I'm going to walk up to Mary J. Blige and just start pitching myself and just start getting my hustle on. And it, you're saying now it's that easy? You know, you don't have to go through an agency anymore?
No, not even. You know, back in the day also, too, people just used to come up to video sets and they would just start working. They didn't even care if they were getting paid or not, just to have their name, you know, on the call sheet. You know, they'll just come in, you know, and once you build that resume, I mean, the record labels, you can walk up to the doors now. You know, even back then, you know, people are always auditioning, running into people. It's, you know, it's way easier today, I think, if I was starting. There's so much more information out there. Put a website together and, you know, a friend of a friend. And, you know, people are getting backstage, VIP, running into people. There's so many different ways people are coming up. And, you know, today, you know, you don't even have to show anything. If you could talk your way into it and make somebody believe it, and then you show up at work and you do what you said you could do, that's all they need.
That's true. But don't go up there talking.
No. No, I'm not saying that it works. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's the only way. No. You know, you need to be educated and understand. I went to school for special effects, so, you know, I had to learn those things. And that's why I like Face Off so much. You know, they're making all these molds and all this stuff. I went to school for special effects. You know, beauty, there's a couple of ways you can go about starting off at beauty. You can go work at a makeup counter. You know, when you're working at a makeup counter, you know, the cosmetic line, they make you, you know, you have to do 3 makeovers a day in order to keep your job, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all these artists coming in, you know, MAC and all the makeup lines changing from the way they used to be to the way that they are now. There's so many different avenues you could come in being a makeup artist.
Well, you know what? You mentioned special effects. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last season of Beauty Talk, we interviewed the winner of Face Off, Connor.
Nice.
And we interviewed, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I know it was at least 3 or 4 other contestants from the show. And we plan to do the same this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when Connor, the winner, was on the show, and I'm not sure, but JK may have, JK Hunter, who's listening, I think she may have been the one to answer, to ask this question. And she has asked the question about, or whoever it was, asked the question, and they asked Connor about why we don't see that many people of color doing special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just said that you went to school for special effects, and there are a lot of makeup artists that I know that are in L.A. When they went to makeup school, they studied effects, you know, and that was their background. Like, maybe they've gone through a program at a special makeup school, and the program was for effects. Even though I know that you do a lot of beauty, and I've actually never heard, you know, you ever say that you even went to school for a set.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think, because my answer to that question is just that there may just be people of color who are just not interested in special effects. But, you know, even on season 2 of Face Off, you have a woman of color who's a contestant. She actually just got voted off last week, but she was a contestant. Why do you think that we don't see many people of color working in special effects? And it could very well be that they're just not interested, but I don't believe that. I believe that there are a lot of them out there who are interested. And I will tell you this, just from season 1 to now season 2, I'm very interested. So what do you think that's about?
That's an interesting question, because I kind of feel like how you feel. Like, I don't think for, you know, what I saw working. We really didn't, as African Americans, as far as like film and television were concerned, I don't recall seeing a lot of things that had to do with special effects when it came to makeup for us, like what we saw ourselves on television and in movies. So I think that may be one reason why people aren't as interested in it as, you know, they are today. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I don't know. I like things that are really pretty and girly. You know what I mean? So I know how to do it because I need to know how to do it. You know, you never know. You know, you need to know how to do everything. I don't know. That's kind of hard to answer. That's something, you know, we might have to have a huge discussion about that. There's a lot of, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a...
For those who are just now joining us on the phone line, I just asked Yolande the question about people of color doing special effects, because Yolande says that she went to school for special effects, and I was saying that I know of a lot of makeup artists that I know of in L.A. went through special effects programs, even though they do beauty, but they went through special effects programs, and most of the ones that I know, they are black and they are female. And you don't see a lot of people of color. And JK asked that question when we had Connor on last season, who was the winner of season one of Face Off. And, you know, I later saw Connor later in the year, and he was saying, you know, when I was on the show and that person asked about how come we don't, you know, see people of color, he's like, I didn't really know what to say, which I'm sure he doesn't, you know, but because Connor himself, he works with, I know because I've worked with him, but Connor works with everybody. Like, he works with a lot of people of color. So it's not, you know, on the job that he's on, it's not necessarily that they don't hire people of color that do special effects. But from what I've seen, I just don't know of many artists who are even interested in it like that to pursue it as their, you know, main focus for their makeup career. But when you see the season one of Face Off and they have all these women as contestants, and now you see season two, they still have quite a few women, and they have an Asian woman and they have, you know, a black woman. And it just really makes me wonder, like, I know that they're out there. It just really makes me wonder how come we don't see them. And I really don't know the answer to that, and I really don't know who could answer that. I do know, you know, we had B. Neal on the show, and, you know, she pretty much was basically saying that there are not that many women working at her level. So there are plenty of women out there who are interested, but there are not a lot of women who are working at her level at special effects. And then we still don't know.
And you know what? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, we also have to remember, too, there's certain avenues we have to take, like to do major motion pictures, mm-hmm. to do network TV, not so much cable TV. You have to be in a union here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So you don't find very many African-American women who are in the union here. And because we're not making a lot of African-American films or a lot of African-American television, the jobs are scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And when those union projects do come up, again, there's not many makeup artists that are in the union, you know, which is why it's hard. It's not hard. It's very difficult to get into the local. You know, you have to complete so many days and so many years. And 1 year you may not even work on a union project. So that whole year is gone. They give you 6 years to get these days.
Right.
So with that, I can see why a lot of makeup artists kind of stay away from it. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of those projects are union projects. You know, these big movies, Underworld, and, you know, I even assisted one of my first jobs, the lady who did all the makeup for the movie The Titanic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, I was getting my union days then. But like I said, it's real difficult to get those days to get into union to work on those projects.
Right. Now, you know what? I want to go back to the discussion on special effects. But first,
can I just say this really quickly before you take the caller?
Okay.
The New York Giants are the Super Bowl champs.
What's the score?
21-17.
That's the final?
That's final.
Wow.
Right. I'm loving that.
New York is going to be on fire.
They all
as long as Boston's not on fire, I'm great.
You great?
Mm-hmm.
Are you cold right now?
No.
No snow?
No snow. Kind of warm.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I want to take a call from someone from the 773 area code. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Good. This is Zita Massey calling from Chicago.
Hey.
How are you? I'm good. How are you, Yolanda?
Hi. I'm good. How you doing?
In Chi-town, Chi-city.
So I have to go get me a gyro and some Giordano's real quick.
And some Garrett's popcorn.
Mm-hmm. And get me some Harold's chicken.
First, let me just commend Illusions Cosmetics, the sisters, for doing this awesome beauty talk. I think it is a platform for makeup artists that we definitely need. And I'm so honored to be on it and to talk to you ladies. The reason why I was calling in is because about the special effects. You guys had just briefly talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live in Los Angeles for 7 years. I actually had moved from Chicago to live in Los Angeles. I just recently moved back. And to your point, Yolanda, it is very difficult to get into the union. But one of the ways that I used to work on a lot of pilots in Los Angeles, and every time it was time for the pilot to get picked up, it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm back home, and I'm working actually in the theater, and I'm actually up to be waived in the union because I started working on theater projects.
Nice.
Right.
And that's another way that you can get into the union is, you know, to work theater projects. And a lot of projects are now coming to Chicago, you know, like Contagion was a film that was filmed here, Superman, Transformers. And so that's another way that you can get waived in, you know, grandfathered in to work theater.
But you know what? Let me say something about that really quickly, though. The only thing you have to be careful of is that when you get in through theater, you get that theater card, you are only expected to work on theater.
Right.
That is true.
Yes.
That is
so
true.
To kind of careful with that.
Right, that is true. But a lot of the makeup artists that work theater, they work these huge projects and huge films. And again, I think it's all about camaraderie and relationships. And,
yes.
You know, I think sometimes when they need assistance, you know, when you have a great personality and you guys are, you know, talking to one another, they'll let you know about other projects that's coming up for those girls who are union in TV and film.
Right.
And so it's just good to just kind of, you know, nurture those relationships and build those relationships and get in your industry and around those kinds of people, you know, who are working on those films and those productions. So that's just the way that I have, you know, aligned myself with the theater here in Chicago since I've been back home. And it's been pretty good.
And how long did you say you've been back home?
I moved back in 2011, so last year.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, last year. So, you know, it's good. It's Chicago. You know, I still go back and forth to L.A. and work, so that's good when you still have your clients. But, you know, you just got to keep hustling.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's so true.
You got to keep hustling. So, I just wanted to call in and definitely say that. And you know, just encourage other artists who are, you know, trying to get in the industry. And a lot of things that you were saying, Yolanda, is very, very true. Crystal Wright was one of the first classes and seminars that I took when I was an artist back in 1997.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been in this business for quite some time. So it's, she was definitely the foundation for what I needed.
And at that time, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but at that time, you know, Crystal was the only African-American agency. So if you want, people, clients specifically came to Crystal for African-American hairstylists and wardrobe stylists and makeup artists.
Because
Cloutier and all those other ones, oh gosh, there were so many of them. They're not Zenobia.
Dion
came around after Crystal, so then there was two of them,
know. And Dion kind of, you know, she made her way in the industry in L.A., which was pretty good, you know.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. So it was Crystal and Dion Perrineau. But, you know, there aren't a lot. I mean, I'm not repped by an agency. When I first started, I was with Ford. But after, you know, you build your relationships and you build your clientele, you could pretty much do it on your own. You know, I get repped by referral, and the same clients is kind of like a channel. They keep, you know, referring, and they keep saying, you know, and when you have a great name for yourself, and not just your talent, but your personality,
people
will call you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell my assistants and people all the time, it's 80, it's 90 personality, 10%
work. Yes. 10% work, 90% is your personality. Because, listen now, it's not an 8-hour job, and you're with this becomes somewhat of a, you know, family, if you want to call it that, but you're with these people you work with for 16, 18 hours a day. It all depends on what you're working on. Sometimes 24, like Janice said, 23, you know, so people have to want to be around you.
Absolutely, and that is the equation that I give everybody who says, oh, I want to, because they look at the glitz and the glam, and it's not really about that. You have to be passionate about what you do, you know, and I always give them that equation. It's 90-10, it's 90-10. They're like, what is that, 90% personality, 10% talent?
That's right.
So, you know, that helps. Well, I don't want to hog the call. I just wanted to call in and just say thank you, sister, for just, you know, giving your advice. I think it's awesome, again, what you other sisters with Illusions Beauty is doing. And, you know, God's blessings with everything moving forward.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, too. God bless you.
Can we find you on Twitter and Facebook?
Oh, yeah, we got her.
Yeah.
We got her.
Oh, yeah, you got, yep, at Vita Nasty and Facebook. My Facebook page is The Makeup Maven.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Right.
Thank you, lady.
Thank you.
Okay,
right.
Take care. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so that's good. Somebody else calling in just to pretty much say exactly what you've been saying. You know, it's not easy. And even in areas now where, you know, in New York, same kind of deal. And even in other areas, like now, you know, they're doing a lot of film and television work in Atlanta. You know, and then Atlanta has its own little music industry on its own. So, I mean, it may be a little easier to break in that area, but now it's so much going on in that area, and so many artists are coming from other areas. There are a lot of people coming out of L.A. and doing movies and TV, you know, in Atlanta. But I'm sure it can't be as hard as it is, because even though probably like a lot of work has left L.A. as far as film and television.
Yes.
It's still a lot going on there, though.
It's actually coming back,
right.
You know. And what I really think it is, I just think entertainment is taking a turn, you know, because after 9/11, a lot of stuff slowed down. It wasn't just, you know, makeup. The world slowed down. Our whole world has changed since then, you know. And now that, you know, things are starting to grow and started happening, I think it's growing a lot of places, Atlanta, Miami, you know,
even
they're doing
a little run.
Mm-hmm. And which I think is great, you know. I pray for the day where there's a lot more African American films being made. There's a lot more things for everybody because there's enough for everyone, you know. More female artists, whether they're actresses or singers, you know, for all of us so that we can all work.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say back, when it goes to the special effects, was that if you watch, and I think you're seeing it more this season, than last, even though you did see it some last season, but you're seeing it more because, you know, they're branching out to the a lot of the painting. But, you know, I think a very good special effects makeup artist is a very good makeup artist, because if you notice and pay attention to, like, all the challenges and all the things that they're asked to do, you have to know beauty. You know, you have to know how to paint by hand and airbrush.
Shading. You have to know shading.
Yes. You have to know how to sculpt. You have to know how to do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
That all that rolled up into one, you know, is your special effect. You know, your cuts, your bruises, your scars. That's effects too, you know, but you don't even see them doing stuff like that. That's baby stuff. You know what I mean? Those are,
yeah.
You know, they could do that stuff with their eyes closed,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, some of us who may just do beauty, some of us may think we're doing something. But then when you watch, that's why I always encourage a lot of the makeup artists to watch that show.
Yeah.
Because it's more than just lipstick powder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And some lashes.
A whole lot more, you know.
Right.
And I know some... I asked one makeup artist recently, she's kind of somewhat new, she's maybe been doing makeup for 3 years, but I asked her if she airbrushed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't airbrush, and she's like, no, well, I thought, she's like, I probably wouldn't use it much, and she said, you know, I probably wouldn't use it much, and she said, I know one makeup artist who has an airbrush compressor, and they're trying to sell it, because I guess they bought it or took a class and bought it or whatever, but now they're
mm-hmm.
trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you all think about that? Because my thing is, I just sometimes feel like even if that's not your thing or you don't really want to do it much, it's always good to have that extra thing that
mm-hmm.
you can do.
Yeah.
But that you mm-hmm. don't get looked over when it comes
mm-hmm.
to jobs.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a great tool. Even if you don't use it, it's just always great to have it because you just
mm-hmm.
never know. I mean, you could actually lose out on a job because you don't
have it.
So if
yeah.
you have it and you know how to use it and maybe just not prefer to use it, just always keep it. Always keep it.
Yeah, I know we're all raised. You got to, you know, stay ready. You don't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. You know, I have 3.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't use it every day. It's not something that, you know, but when I need it, I have it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah, I have quite a few myself.
Mm-hmm.
I lost
and,
track.
You know, you have to, though, really, because, again, things change. Those compressors change. You know, those needles break.
Mm-hmm.
All kind of stuff. Those things get clogged,
mm-hmm.
those hoses, all that stuff, you know.
And eventually sometimes those compressors break.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's always good to have a backup.
Yep. That is so true.
Especially when you're dealing with television and, like, television news or, you know, any type of... television show, you know, of course, everybody's shooting in HD, so most, especially on television news, they, you know, they think, okay, HD, then it must require airbrushing. So most news stations are going to require you to use an airbrush, especially CNN. I mean, that's all they use on CNN. So if you're looking to get a job at CNN, then you may want to have an airbrush. I know if you come to Atlanta looking for a job at CNN, you need to have an airbrush.
Hey, airbrush city.
Mm-hmm.
Is airbrush city. They everything is airbrushed in Atlanta.
It's neat.
If you have a soft hand, you know, you have that. I know some artists who have a soft enough hand and it look like you airbrushed it and they didn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's all about blending. I mean, you know, and I think we all should try to make sure our makeup looks like it's airbrushed.
Like it's,
you know. Yeah.
I just snapped when you said it was all about blending. I snapped.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's all about blending. So you don't see any lines.
Right. Right. And that's just being a good makeup artist, you know? Because the thing is, even if you use that airbrush, you still have to get it to look the way it looks.
Yes.
The airbrush doesn't look flawless without the right hand. You can still be too heavy. You can still be too light. You can still have, you know, sharp lines. You still have to blend that makeup.
Well, you know, one of the things I often think about is that, you know, people have to remember when you're looking at television, whether it be on a screen or movies, whatever. Our actresses and our artists, a lot of them have flawless skin. So you don't have to cover a lot.
Right.
So it's easy for us to blend. Now, when we're talking about women who go to work on 9-to-5, women who, you know, you're just your everyday woman who has acne, dark spots, you know, that's why I said in the beginning, I'm sorry, I jump around, forgive me. You know, I don't like when people sit in my chair and say, make me look like Beyonce. Well, that's impossible because your mother's not Tina and your dad's not Matthew, so we can't do that. We're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, our clients have beautiful skin. It's easy. It's fairly easy to achieve these looks when you're dealing with stuff like that. Let me cut to the chase.
It's true.
Mhm.
It's true. And if, you know, if they show up one day and they've got something going on, a blemish or whatever, okay, you take care of that. But for the most part, like you said, beautiful skin.
Beautiful.
Because, you know, because that's a part of them being an actress or a singer or a model or, you know, professional model. To take care of their skin, their you know, their face. That's how they make their money.
Yeah.
We have a question from the chat room. JK is wondering, how did body painting change for you with the changes in HD? Does the airbrush? Oh, did you airbrush or hand paint?
I hand paint.
Mm-hmm.
This
is what I love to. So did you make any change? Did you adjust any of that from, you know, when HD came around?
No, not really, because, you know, again, we're talking about lighting, so it's all about the touch, everything that we've just been saying. You know?
Right.
So it all depends on exactly what it is and what we're trying to create, you know. So, and I don't do body painting often, you know, so...
And then I'm just wondering, why is hand painting better than airbrush?
I don't feel like either one is better than the other. I just feel like they're both, you know, they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each artist is different. We're all different.
Yeah.
Everybody has different hands. So like I said, some artists can do makeup and it looks like it was airbrushed. And...
Mm-hmm.
Some artists can airbrush, and you'll swear they use their hands.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because I was so amazed. Back to the face-off, when I was talking about the, you said you only saw the final look for the, when they did the sneakers, and, you know, the guy, I don't know if you realize that he made a stencil of sneakers, and he sprayed them on the model.
Oh, okay.
Well, Bree, who did the other guy, which was just the guy with the shorts, I couldn't tell if she sprayed him or if she painted by hand. I really couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
The first guy that she did wind up passing out, and they took him off in the ambulance, and then they brought in another model, and she had to do him all over again. And they really didn't show in detail her doing the second model all over. But I just happened to see a picture of it on Facebook, and I was so amazed. I actually reposted it on my page. I was so amazed at the guy that she did,
mm-hmm.
the shorts that she painted. It actually looks like you could put your hand up his shorts, you know, from the knee up.
Really?
This is painting. And it
looks like to see this.
You have to go to my Facebook page and you have to see that picture. It actually looks like, I mean, that's how real the shorts look. Like you could just put your hand up his shorts from the knee.
That's amazing. That's some great work right there. I'm grinning from ear to ear.
How do they do that?
I
don't know if she did it by hand or airbrush, but it was some awesome work. It was amazing.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
And whether you did it by hand or airbrush, that's just a special skill. I was so amazed because, you know, at first when I saw it on the show, I was so amazed at his how well Matt blended that model, the female model, into the background with those sneakers. It was just so awesome. And, you know, I thought Bree did a good job on the on her model, but you really couldn't see the detail until I saw that actual picture, you know, on Facebook. And I was blown away all over again. It was amazing.
Man.
Yeah, you have to go out there. And I'm sure you would appreciate that. But do we have any more questions from the chat room?
Did you guys watch any part of the Super Bowl tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's talk about the halftime show. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I just watched the halftime show.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Madonna looks great. 53, are you kidding?
Yeah, she looked really good.
She looked really good. She sounded really good. But I was, like, looking at her, like, dancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, and I don't know if her heels were just super high or something, but I was like, it really looked like she was just kind of, like, trying to take her time.
Mm-hmm. She had to. She's 53.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
she's not moving that bad, 53.
No, she's not moving bad at all, but I wanted Madge to take her time. I don't want Madge to fall.
I don't want to fall in front of all those people.
I love her, though. That was great.
Yeah,
it was really stupid.
Shout out to my alma mater. That was those young ladies dancing with Madge and Nicki Minaj were Southern University dancing dolls.
Oh, you know, I was wondering who they were. I was wondering who they were, because normally when there's, like, a performance like that or an award show or something, I always see, you know, a couple of dancers that I recognize, you know, just from working with, you know, different dancers
mm-hmm.
and movies and stuff, and I didn't see anybody I recognized, so I was wondering who they were.
Yeah, those were Southern University's dancing dolls.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know which band that was. I wonder what high school or college that band, the drum line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the drum line. I didn't know who they were, though. I thought it was nice. And then CeeLo Green is always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a lot of makeup going on there.
I know. How much fun was that?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, all the hectic, even though it would have been hectic and football and everything going on all around you. You're painting all these faces, and next thing you know, you see it on TV. I mean, that would have been euphoria for me. I probably had goosebumps and everything. I probably would have been crying.
Right.
Absolutely. And who? And I wasn't familiar with the other. I knew Nicki Minaj, but I wasn't familiar with the other.
That was MIA. Remember the?
Oh yes.
Mhm. That was MIA with the belly. Remember when she was pregnant?
Yes. Yeah, that was MIA.
All I want to do is. I don't know the name of the song. I forgot the name of the song.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, they looked really good, too.
Yeah, everybody looked great. That was makeup heaven.
Yeah.
All those wigs and the wardrobes. So everything looked really good.
Now, who sang the national anthem?
Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly Clarkson, yes. How did you? I thought she looked great.
I did, too. I didn't know it was her at first because she had the straight hair. I'm used to her with the curly hair.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She looks great.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Yolanda, the Grammys are next Sunday.
Yes.
So who will you be working with next Sunday?
I am working with MC Light. So she's actually the president of the Grammy Association.
Yes, I forgot about that. She sure
mm-hmm.
is.
Oh. Yep, she's the first African-American woman. First African-American, I think, and first African-American woman, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have to say this about her. I met her, I guess it was maybe two years ago, I think, by now,
mm-hmm.
in New York. Working on a pilot for BET, and she was like the host of the show. So I was hired to do the host, do the makeup for the host. And first of all, I think she's beautiful. She's so pretty to me. And I just loved doing her makeup. She has like the greatest eyes, just everything about it. It was just so beautiful to do her.
Isn't it?
And make her so pretty.
Yes.
And it's like her skin just holds the makeup really well. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
go anywhere. It's just wonderful. So
yeah, wonderful eye space to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use a number of, you know, colors if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
mm-hmm.
lips. Her cheekbones are amazing, you
yes.
know. And she's so little.
Yeah, she is. She's a little something.
Yes.
But, you know,
so
like, her makeup was always just
yes, like
feminine and
yeah. It's like painting a little doll.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I just had to say that about her. But so you'll be working with her on next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So looking forward to seeing that. Does she have a big role on the show?
Actually, I don't. I'm the makeup artist, so I just, you know, tell me where to be. You guys
right.
know how it is. I just
yep.
tell me where am I going?
Right, they give you the call time and location.
Uh huh. Where am I going to set my? Where am I setting my stuff up at today?
Right.
So. Yeah, you know, that's another thing, too, you guys. You think about it, like, in the beginning, you kind of, like, want to work. People may worry about those things. Man, just tell me, where are we setting up?
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not getting into all that. You just want to know what time you need to be there, what you're
mm-hmm.
doing, so you can come and do your job.
Mm-hmm, because that's what it is. It's a, you
right.
know, and that's the favor that we all have from God, that's the fortunate part, you know. That's the blessing
right.
that we all have, that we show up to a job that we love, you know,
mm-hmm.
Something that you don't mind going to work to do.
Right.
You know, I don't mind waking up at 4 in the morning, even if we did work to 23. Some people's like, oh, okay. You know, like, I don't mind doing that. That does not bother me at all.
Right.
Right.
Because when you're working and you enjoy what you're doing, you really don't pay attention to that time.
Nope. It goes by really fast.
Yeah. It's when you're sitting there and paying attention to the fact that you're not getting paid for something.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the day drags on, you get tired
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to remember what you're in it for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Yolande, we're coming to the end of the show. We extended it a little bit longer so people could get, you know, the chance to hear you. But I'm going to take one more call from J.K. Hunter, and then I want to know from you, Yolande, what beauty means to you. But I'm going to take a call from J.K. Hunter.
Okay.
Hi, ladies. How are you? Hey.
Hi.
Hello, Yolande. How are you?
I'm good.
I was asking on the chat room for one of you all to ask, what is your dream gig that you haven't done or your dream artist that you want to work with?
My dream gig. I want to be standing in the middle of Times Square looking up at my art on a billboard.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. I'm with you on that. I get that. Yeah. What about artists?
Wow. I can't name just one. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many beautiful people, so many beautiful things. Wow. That's... Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, Maya Angelou, I would love to, I would have loved to have painted Phyllis Hyman.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If I have to pick my all-time, I would have loved to have, I mean, her bone structure alone... Just in her eyes, and oh wow, I would have loved to have painted her in her, you know, what do they say in her
heyday?
Yeah, there you go, the heyday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean, like, you know, Lena Horne in her heyday, stuff like that. Like those pictures are
classic. Yes.
Yep. Classic.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody asked in the chat room about makeup lines. I gave them partial answer. They asked what a name an African American line. I don't know if they're asking one that you like or just in general.
I like a lot of lines actually, because when you're dealing with makeup, it's not so much the cosmetics; it's the skin that we are. You know, our palette or surface, skin, whatever it is that we're dealing with is what we're going to use, you know. Believe it or not, you can't use the same thing on everybody. Everybody's skin is totally different. I can't use the same thing I use on Fantasia that I would use on MC Light or, you know, or a model. You know, even Melanie Fiona, there's things that I can't use. And then you're looking at skin tone. So I use some of everything.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wonderful. Nice talking to you.
You too.
Ladies.
That voice better, JK.
They're giggling because we're really good friends, and it's just a mess. It's all good. It's nothing to do with you, Yolande. Plus, we're texting each other constantly, so that's all. We work together on a regular basis. Love y'all. Put me on hold.
Okay. I just want to say big thank you to Sharon Tina and Brandolin and JK and Viola. And who else? Dita and all the other people who listen by phone in the chat room. Thank you, guys. I know y'all probably could have been watching the Super Bowl, probably were still watching the Super Bowl, but it's okay. You are still listening to Beauty Talk, and we do appreciate that. And quickly, Yolande, if you could just, in like a couple of seconds, tell us what...
Um, beauty is just something that comes from the inside. I believe it's something that comes, you know, from the inside out. Everybody's beautiful, you know, so just love yourself.
Absolutely. I agree with that totally.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing in itself, is loving yourself.
Yeah, you just love yourself.
Thank you, girl.
You all can join us on Facebook for like a 10-minute follow-up on the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio page. If you haven't liked that page, come out to Facebook and like that page and join us for a follow-up conversation.
Yeah, Yolanda, if you have a few seconds,
join us on that page. It's Beauty Talk online radio, and we just do a follow-up chat after each show, so there may be quick questions or just going to leave comments and talk about how they like the show. You can join us out there if you like, but for those of you who are listening, if you really enjoyed the show, go out here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. Tell everybody about the show every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, as long as the Baltimore Ravens not playing in the Super Bowl, we're pretty much going to be on air on Sunday night. I know that Grammy's coming up next week and Oscar's coming up the following week. We're normally still going to be on air, and we'll keep you posted if we're not. But in the meantime, we look forward to having you back here next Sunday night. So continue to support, and we thank you so much. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.